Hey, welcome everyone. This is Michael Sparks. It's the Amsoil Dealer Training Call. It's Monday, January. No, it's not January. It's actually February 2nd, 2015, and we're excited for you to join our call this week. If you're listening to this call via podcast like iTunes or Stitcher, etc., be sure to visit our Amsoil Dealer Training website. If you have never gone to it, there's a lot of information there. You can go back and visit old call, prior training calls, blog posts, and a lot of dealer training information if you're an Amsoil dealer. Just go to www.lube-direct.com. That's lube with the hyphen, direct. Dash in the middle, and then click on the logo that says Dealer Training Website. It's the third, the last one. There's only three choices to click when you go to lubedirect.com. So just be aware of that. Tonight, we're going to listen to part of a podcast that really struck a chord with me. As I said before, there's a lot of different things I listen to. I listen to motivational. I listen to business. I listen to multi-level marketing. I listen to a lot of different training podcasts, and one of my favorites is called the Survival Podcast. And while the name of the call or the name of the podcast seems a lot like the survival thing, it's really not that. It's not a live in the woods survival show. It's an everyday preparedness and common sense ideas to help you have a successful life. There's a lot of entrepreneur stuff on there. And if you don't know that, Alicia and I, we have a little 30-acre homestead that we're working on right now that we want to have chickens and gardens, and we're thinking about raising hogs on it and all kinds of interesting things. So I listen to the Survival Podcast, but there's a lot of things that talk about being successful, and especially in entrepreneurship and business, that this guy relates to. And I was on my way up to Wisconsin for a funeral. I was listening to some of these, and one just kind of struck a chord, and it was about a millennial generation. That's our 20s, 30-somethings, so, you know, early, someone that's in their 20s to early 30s. That's the millennial generation. And how tough it is out there and how hard it is to get started. And he tackles this question. And really, is it any tougher for the younger generation than it was for somebody that's in their 40s or 50s or 60s? Life is tough, and it's just what it is. But I think he answers this, and I think you'll enjoy the call tonight. We've had the opportunity before us with Amsoil and to become financially independent, have a better life, and for ourselves and our families. But we can't force this on other people. We have to want it. And the people that we work with, they have to see it, and they have to be willing to adapt to a paradigm shift that's happening right before our eyes. I can just think when I started Amsoil, the Internet was just brand spanking new in 2000. I think it was maybe 3 or 4 years old. We didn't have cell phones. My first cell phone, it had like 30 minutes is all you could use it for. And after that, it was like an exorbitant cost. And now I have unlimited cell phones for all over the country. It's amazing. So the days are gone forever when someone works for a company for 30 years and you get a gold watch and a pension for the rest of your life. Gone are the days when you can put a couple percent in a 401k, 6%, and your company matches you. And in 30 years, you're going to have $1 million to retire on. And $1 million, 20, 30 years ago was a lot of money. $1 million a day, it's not going to last very long, especially when people are retiring at 60 years old or 70, 65 years old. $1 million is not going to last that long. So we have to be willing to see this, and we have to be willing to adapt to it. And I think the opportunity that Amsoil has and to create our own financial independence is just something that's out there for anyone that really wants it, but they have to see it. And this call tonight that I'm going to play right now kind of hits home, and I hope it hits home for you like it did with me. The guy's name is Jack Spierko, and again, he is with the Survival Podcast. I'm going to play this right now, and I hope you guys enjoy it. Hold on a second.
There's a better way to do this. Let me show you a
Hi, folks. This is Jack Spierko with another edition of the Survival Podcast. As always, one man's view of the changing world, the changing times, and the things we can all do to live a better life if times get tougher, even if... I'm going to have an answer for this call that's both tough and sympathetic. And those of you that would just be tough, the guy has a valid point about the situation his generation's in. So listen to this call with an open mind and an open heart. And then I'm not going to pretend to have all the answers, but in my last call today, I'm going to do my best to address these very real, very true concerns that this young man is expressing.
Hey, Jack, this is Steve West from Colorado. Hey, so my question is, besides going self-reliant, self-sufficient-esque, and saving money, what is a younger generation supposed to do? By that, I mean under 30 to 35. 35 might be a little older. They might have a better foothold. But what I mean by this is there are members of this audience that are doing all those things. They are becoming self-reliant. You know, they are planting their own gardens and their own food. And they're still struggling. I mean, we're barely surviving. We've cut everything out of our lives. We've tried to do the best we can. We have no consumer debt. And we're still, lack of a better term, the generation's kind of dying. I mean, half of friends I knew from college and from high school, they're all back with their parents. They're staying in their hometowns in apartments. And some of the, you know, like I said, some of the people from this audience, they barely afford groceries, even though they are growing their own food. We're struggling so hard. I don't know how you can save, you know, any money. It goes right back out. Everything is rising faster than we can make it. You know, this year I'm going to probably be doing 900 to 1,500 broilers for meat because there's a processing plant going in up here. And I'm going to do the processing myself as well, but we're still dying here. We're still struggling. We're still not able to afford hardly anything. You know, and the older generations, they... You know, I hate to point blame at anything, but sorry, guys, you have better opportunities. And there are opportunities out there now. I'm taking advantage of every single one of them. But they're not the same. I've seen that growing up. And my father, he got a foothold in a construction company, ended up buying parts of it, became a shareholder, started another one. But with regulation now, with the capital needed to start businesses, you know, we're still doing it, but... I'll tell you what, it's not near as easy as I saw the people that did this 20 years ago doing it, or near as easy as 10 years ago. And we had three different recessions that nobody talks about between 2001 and now. And the construction industry is one of the biggest factors that shows you when everything starts slowing down, and I watched every single one of them. And I've watched prices go up, and I've watched wages stay the same. It doesn't matter, minimum wage, I don't really care. The fact of the matter is, if I go on a construction job site today, I'll get paid the same as I was as a 16-year-old in high school. That hasn't changed. It's not a minimum wage thing. It's just what it is. We're doing our best, but I don't know. Slow economic death spiral, Mark is on. Anyway.
All right. I am going to, at first, acknowledge that much of what you say is true. And it can be summed up in a term that I believe I coined called downward class migration. And everything you've said is wrapped up into a video that I did on this several years ago before anybody was talking about this, explaining exactly what you're saying and exactly why it's true. And I'm extremely sympathetic to how you feel that you're struggling. I am watching and allowing my son to struggle much the same way right now, though I am offering him opportunities to do something about it. I refuse to do it for him. It's here's an opportunity, do something with it or don't. Here's another opportunity, do something with it or don't. Here's some advice that you could do if you don't want to take an opportunity that I have there for you, do something with it or don't. And I'll let it go because he's a 25-year-old young man. He's free to do what the hell he wants. Okay? So... it's not that I'm immune to this, okay? But if I just reinforce the problems for you with your struggling question, and for every young person out there that just said to themselves, I feel exactly the same way, I'm not doing you a damn bit of good to help you. So the first thing I have to do is tell you that when you say this is a problem for your generation, you're saying it with your limited ability to see the truth, and it is not a problem for your generation. It is a problem for every American out there right now who hasn't adapted to and overcome the problem. There are broke 40-year-olds, there are broke 50-year-olds, there are broke 60-year-olds, there are broke 70-year-olds that feel exactly the same way you do. Okay? So it's not your generation's problem. Your generation's just looking at it from a standpoint of, I don't even have a start yet and it's already that way. But there are all kinds of people who took the opportunities you were talking about your father took that watched their companies crumble out from underneath them in the last 10 years that are 50, and I'll put it to you this way, they're a whole lot more effed than you are. I would much rather be a broke 30-year-old right now than a broke 50-year-old. Okay, so the first thing you have to do is, on some levels, vent your frustration, understand how screwed up everything is, feel bad about it, and then pull your ass up and stop having a pity party for yourself because it sucks so bad to be 30. I wish I could be 30 right now. I wish I could be 20 right now and know what I know. Because I'm going to tell you the other side of this. You say it's not, there's the same opportunities aren't there. Correct. There's less opportunities. Incorrect. There are not less opportunities today. There are more. That it costs more money than ever to start a business. Incorrect. Businesses can be started with even inflation adjustments for less money today than any time in history. You say, I'm taking advantage of every opportunity that's out there. No, you're taking advantage of every opportunity that you see. Not every opportunity. If you were taking advantage of every opportunity that existed, you'd be doing better. I don't know how much better, but better. Okay? That is not to say that any of this is easy. That is not to say that your feelings are not justified. But when you are in this state of defeatism, you can either remain in this state of defeatism or you can do something about it. So you have to look around and say to yourself, yes, the same opportunities aren't there, so don't pursue the same course. The construction jobs don't pay well. Well, don't go get one of those unless it's the only job you can get. And don't believe for a minute that things were so much easier back when Jack was 20. When I moved to Texas, I was 21 years of age, and the first job I took was for a warehouse for a company called Home Interiors and Gifts, and I made $5.50 an hour as a temporary worker, $5.50 an hour. Well, that was way back in the old days. That was in 1993. Okay? 1993. There was no internet. There was no way to make a living off of something like a blog. There was no such thing as Kickstarter, Indiegogo, and funding platforms that could put you in touch with people that would help you make something happen. There was no such thing as things called a makerspace where people are building businesses from these things that you pay as much for as a gym membership for and have access to things like computer-generated design and CNC machines and people there that for a few bucks will teach you how to use them. None of that existed. None of it existed. The entire movement towards sustainable agriculture and the niche market that it creates where you can take a bird that you've raised on pasture and sell it for $20 to $25 didn't exist. No one would have paid you $20 for a chicken in 1993. They would have looked at you like you had a deer crawling out of your ass if you would have asked them for it. So there are more opportunities today. They're just different. And they require a new level of thinking. There were no internet billionaires in 1993, because there wasn't no internet yet. AOL wasn't even spamming us with discs. But don't think I don't understand. Don't think I don't get it. Don't think that my generation, just the one just a little bit older than yours, didn't feel the same way when we were in our 20s and looking at jobs and realizing everything paid shit. And don't think our parents didn't feel that way. And don't think our grandparents didn't feel that way. And don't think that the entire history of America isn't the story of generational struggle to be understood by both the generation before you and the generation after you, because if you've learned anything from the history segment, it's all the same. What should you do? The honest answer is there's no way I can tell you that. There's no way I can tell you that. There's no way I can give you an answer to that. But what I will tell you is there is an opportunity that's right for you that you can make you successful. Put money in your pocket and give you a toehold in the right direction. I'll put up my video for you today on downward class migration, and yourself and anybody else that feels like you that's a little bit irritated with me with what I'm saying right now, when you watch that, you'll see I get it. And I'm telling you it's going to get worse. And I'm telling you a lot of you are going to get run over by it. You're not going to figure it out. And I'm telling you that many of us have. It's not just because of where we're at. It's not just because of the opportunities we have. But it's a mental shift that makes a determination that I have value and I can create value. And no matter what happens in my life, and don't think that everything I ever touch turned to gold. Because I've had failures, and I've had failures since I started this. Things I've tried to get going that didn't work. Still worth doing. Still worth trying. And I've had things that have become incredible successes. But once you know that, and if I could tell you the secret, like say these five words or read this book and it'll happen for you, I would. But it doesn't exist that way. All I can tell you is there is a mental shift that occurs where people change their paradigm about the concept of wealth, monetary creation, and entrepreneurship, where they go from employee to employer, or they go from employee to contractor, or they go from employee to self-employed. And once they figure it out, if they've really figured it out, they never go back. You know, I said there were people that built construction companies, remodeling companies, things like that, that have gone broke. They were people that never really got it. They were what my old mentor, Frank Madden from Garrett.com, said, a turkey can fly in a tornado. You hit a boom just right. You go into something just right. You have a basic rudimentary skill set. You go into carpentry and building, and there's stuff being built everywhere. There's more work than anybody can handle. All of a sudden, you have a company, but you're still acting like an employee. You don't really understand the rules of business. You don't really understand the concept of business ownership. So when you start to see, hey, we're heading for the cliff of a recession, you don't do shit about it. You think everything will just get better. And I can tell you when I know an entrepreneur is about to have her business fail. When I talk to an entrepreneur and they say, well, when things pick up, things will get better. I just, at that point, you couldn't get me to invest a dime in that person's business. I know they've already signed their own death warrant. They don't know it yet. You're waiting for things to pick up for your business to recover. Your business is going to die. It's actions that you take that increase a business's viability, sustainability, and longevity. So I believe the number one thing you can do to adapt to this future is to either become a business owner or someone that's very specialized with self-employment or contracting. Because that is the only way that you are going to be immune to things like wages and things like that. And they are making it harder. Of course they're making it harder. They don't want people like me out there, right? They don't want the successful people you know. They don't want them out there. They don't want them telling you this shit. They don't want those people telling you, hey, fight back. Don't give up. Give the world two giant middle fingers every morning when you wake up if you have to. Put a hole in a wall if you have to. Do whatever it takes to have that fighting spirit and say, I will not accept this reality this way because someone else says it's this way. They don't want that because then you can't be controlled. What they want you to do is give the hell up, figure out how to get on the dole, and let the people that are still willing to work pay for your ass and become part of the system. Or get a mundane job that's just good enough to barely get by and be grateful you have it. Shut the hell up and go on with life and live a pitiful existence. That's what they want. Because you're easy to control. That's why there's so many regulations, because when they see somebody that says, screw this, I'm going to do this, they don't like it. Because if enough people do that, all of a sudden it takes on a life of its own and it becomes unstoppable. They don't want that either. I don't know exactly what you should do, but I know that you should do. Sometimes you take a job that sucks because it pays a dollar an hour more. Sometimes you have to partner up with other people to cut costs and expenses. I don't know your individual situation. I know that you're not, I know that you're not lazy. I know that you're not unwilling to work. Anybody that would say that about you is an idiot. If you've raised 10 chickens and processed them to yourself, and you hear somebody say, I'm going to do it with 1,000, and you think that person's not willing to work, you are just sub-intelligent beyond words, because the amount of work necessary to do that, to maybe make $10,000 of profit, is a lot. But it's a step in the right direction. What else does it tie into? You're going to do that. What else are you going to do? What's the long-term plan? Where are you doing it? Are you leasing land? Do you own the land? Are you investing land? Is your parents' land? What's the long-term play? Our current generation is lost. It's lost because it's been sold and believed a lie. And we that are in our late 30s and 40s, we believe the same lie. And many of us hit the opportunities right that were still there, and they springboarded us somewhere. But those of us, even that hit the right opportunities, if you didn't capitalize on it back then, you don't have it now. I know people personally that built companies into multi-million dollar companies that if they hadn't put some of that money away, would be on the street right now. Their businesses are shot because they relied on things staying the way that they were. I know some people who did very well for themselves in the 90s who are working menial jobs right now. This isn't new. In 1996, when I was contracting to Lockheed Martin, I was ended up given the entire contract as the lead technician on it. I was 24 years old. The youngest person on my four-person crew that reported to me was a day older than my father. His name was Kurt. And he was a guy that kind of just drifted job to job to job, the guy you'd expect to be there. Another gentleman that was quite a bit older than my father was a guy named Daryl. Daryl had retired from Texas Instruments with one of those great retirements you just don't see anymore. And he was working for $12 an hour for a 24-year-old kid because he needed more money in the 90s when everything was great and wonderful and super. And there was another gentleman that worked for me named Gerald who had had really good jobs in the past. He was in his 50s working for a 24-year-old kid. And another guy named Cliff, an older gentleman that also was in some tough financial straits for other reasons. So we had people with good pathways that failed and bad pathways that failed, all working for a 24-year-old kid. Because I'm special? No, because I was freaking hungry. Because I was freaking hungry because I felt like, damn it, I'm going to... And I didn't have a pot to piss in back then. I didn't make any money doing that. But I got an education and I leveraged it. And I leveraged myself into sales where you write your own freaking paycheck if you're good. But it's not a path for everybody. So I can't tell you how to leverage your pathway. I can tell you this, you're at a point where you're going to break or make. I hear it in your voice. You're at a point where you're willing to say, screw this. This is all bullshit. It's all lies. And it used to be good, but it isn't anymore, and there's nothing I can do, and just let whatever happens, happens, and I'm going to just go by like everybody else. Let me tell you the biggest lie told today. The biggest lie is that it wasn't always this way. It used to be a lot easier. The opportunities are different. Some things were easier back then, and some things are easier now. But in the end, it's always been this way. The young up-and-coming generation has always had to bust their ass to be respected. They've always had to create opportunities. They've always had to take opportunities. What happens is the young generation looks to the next generation up and the one after that, the two generations ahead of them, or I should say behind them, and they only see the people who've made it. And they don't see the millions who have failed. We have a tendency to look at that guy. He's got a nice house. I wish I had a house like that. I don't have a house like that. I can't do that. He did that when it was easy. No. He did it when it was hard in a different way. And the cumulative effect over time is what led to success. And that lie is murdering. You said you're dying? Well, you are. You're being murdered by that lie. Because it's letting you guys wait longer and longer and longer and longer and longer before you freaking gut check yourself and say, damn it, I've got to do something. That moment used to come right about the time you graduated high school. Especially if you didn't go to college. It was like, oh shit, I got to do something with my life now. Now kids are sitting at 25, 26, 27, ain't done shit yet. I'm not saying you haven't, but I'm saying your generation. There's lots of them out there. And you know why? Because they say, well, it's not your fault. Say it to yourself, it's not my fault. It's the environment, it's the situation. Let me tell you something. If I could be 21 today with the same amount of money I had back then, which was almost nothing, but retain the knowledge I have and retain the fact that I've hit that point in my life where I flipped that switch and decided that I was responsible for my own life at a higher level and that I had value and that I could generate that value and use it to capture money, okay? That's as blunt as I can make it. If I could take that with me back to 21, and I'm in my 40s now, my early 40s, by this point in time, I'd be worth about $20 million at least. I know it's hard to believe. And the truth is, you can't do it. I can't do it. No one can do it. And I can't put it in a pill. I can't put it in a bottle. I can't put it in a book. I can't put it into words. What causes the person to go over that precipice and say, and change everything. But I can tell you this, the world looks different forever. The world looks different forever. And you don't go back. And there's people that have always had it. I have a friend named Sean Hipskind in Arkansas. He's run excavation companies, built homes, done all sorts of things. He's never had a job, like working for somebody else's life. By 18, he was running his own businesses. For real, not the way that bigwigs lie about it when they write a life story and they were making money selling baseball cards or some bullshit when they were a kid. You know, most of those stories are crap. This is a guy that really was that way. I wish I could tell you that I was at 18 or 20 or 24. 24, I was still in the wrong mindset. I was just more aggressive and hungrier than everybody around me on my way on that path. I didn't have this moment until my 30s where I shifted, but I had the moment of I have to do this for myself when I was about 17. And I think that moment for people is happening later in life. And here's the sad story. You don't get the years back. If you're 30 and you've never had that moment yet, 10, 13, 15 years ago that you could have had it, gone. It's like planting a tree, dude. Best time to plant it was 20 years ago. The next best time is now. I feel like I'm yelling at you, but I don't know what else to tell you. I'm not trying to be hard on you. I'm trying to understand and at the same time say, all the understanding in the world won't fix shit. All the acknowledgement that in some levels you're completely right won't fix anything, won't solve your problem. Telling you I feel bad for you, I wish things were better, I wish things were different, won't help you. But what I know is it can be done because I watch people do it all the time. you take somebody and tell them to walk a tightrope or something even easier, like ride a bicycle. They've never done it before. And they try it the first time and bust their face, they'll swear to God it can't be done. And then if they try long enough and hard enough and they have that one moment where the understanding clicks, at that point it's over with. Until somebody cuts their legs off, they can do it again for the rest of their lives. Understanding how to manage your life, how to build value, how to create wealth, it's like that. And all of the gurus selling you bullshit about how to become that are lying, honest people. They're factual in telling you that it's possible, but they're lying when they tell you they can tell you how to do it. It's like trying to tell somebody how to have a religious experience. I can't tell you how to have a religious experience. You have to go on a quest for it and find it in your own way. Some people will find it through saying the rosary 1,000 times, and some people will find it on the top of a mountain. And some people will never find it, and the quest is worth it, and some people will never look for it and don't give a damn. All of it's okay as long as you're open-eyed and you choose your own path. And damn it, I wish I could say, do X, Y, Z, repeat. X, Y, Z, repeat. Rub a lamp and wish for a genie and it'll all come true. I wish I could tell you that, but I can't. What I can tell you is there are opportunities out there for young people to do amazing things and to be well rewarded for it. And there are so many that even trying to name them individually is pointless. You have to find the ones that are out there for you, and you have to capitalize on them, and you have to make something happen with them, and you have to fail and 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 fail some more, and then fail some more and have a little success, and then fail some more, and then think you're getting by and have somebody knock you down, and then fail some more, and then really think you got it, and then get your ass kicked, and then fail some more, and then do it. That's the path. And if you don't do it that way, if you get lucky, if you hit it right, and you've never fallen down all those times, sooner or later, no matter what you find, there will be a shift that will take it from you. But the people that took the failure path and accepted it, accepted that the failure would be there, but they never accepted failure was a destiny, they adapt. They build legacies. Whether they're legacies just in their own families or they're legacies that are global, doesn't matter. As long as they're happy and they have what they want in their lives. You say you don't see how it can be done? I'll tell you that that's your choice. You're either going to choose to see how you can do it, or you're going to choose to accept the way that it is. And I don't want you to think that I'm hard on you or I don't care about you, because I've gone on for 25 minutes in this answer. And I don't ever do that. I have to really care and I have to really believe what I'm saying matters to answer a single question with this much. If I could put it in a bottle or a pill, I would. But I can't. But I will tell you, the day you decide to believe that I'm telling you the truth is the day that it will become your truth. And it is the day that you will begin to walk it. And it doesn't mean you won't get knocked down. It doesn't mean you won't fail. But it means you won't give a shit when you do. It means you'll start looking at life this way. When there's a door, it's not because life has another door opening for you somewhere. Take the freaking hinges off, knock it down, and walk through the damn thing. And if the wall has to come down with the door, then the wall has to come down with the door. There comes a time in the life of men where we choose either to fulfill what we're capable of or to accept what we're handed. Every time I see someone take the second path, the path of acceptance, it hurts. I really mean that. It's not just nice-sounding words or things to convince you of something. I really do. When I see someone just accept mediocrity, accept their station in life, it hurts because I know they don't have to. But I know the majority will. And that's why there's so much opportunity for the minority that won't. I'm not telling you that everybody will do this. I'm telling you that anybody can. Certainly you can, but it's your choice. Tear the door down or go look for the one that's been opened for you. But you might find you don't like what's behind that door. You know where you want to go. And you have to figure out how to get there. It's your own choice. That's what you can do. And it's all that you can do. If you don't feel understood, watch my video. I'll explain the mechanics of it to you. But I'll tell you, the truth is, there really is more opportunity today. More ways to make something of yourself today. More opportunity to learn, to share information, to adapt, to innovate than there ever has been. You just have to reach out, use the talents that lie in you, culture them, cultivate them. Stop listening to the people that tell you you can't. There's an old saying, those who want to say why something can't be done should not get in the way of the people doing it. And that's what you need to find. What is the thing that you know you can do better than anybody else, or you know you can do your very best at? Pursue it. What do you love? Where's your passion? Where's your true passion? Maybe you need a break. Take a walk for an hour or a day. Hell, probably when I was quite a bit younger than you, I took one for 3 months. Figure shit out and then make it happen. That's all I can tell you. And with that, this has been Jack Spirico with another edition of the Survival Podcast, helping you figure out how to live that better life if times get tough, or even if they don't.
Well, everyone, I appreciate you bearing through this call tonight. Like I said, this call struck home to me. It's just it's tough out there. It doesn't matter what stage in life you're at, that things are tough. And there's opportunities out there. It's just available for everyone that sees them, that wants to find them. There's more opportunities today than there ever existed. And they said the internet, the capacity of it doubles, like, exponentially. And what we're going to do in 5 years. You think 5 or 6 years ago, Facebook didn't even exist. 5 years before that, the internet was just getting started. The ability for any of us to go out there and create our own opportunity is very, it's just there. So, you know, is the AMSL opportunity right for you? Are you listening in tonight? You're listening to this? Is this something that you're passionate about? Is this something that you really want to create for your family, for your own personal, it's there. But even if you don't, even if you think, well, you know, I'm interested in something else, the AMSL opportunity can help you grow in other areas of creating a business, creating, learning new things that you wouldn't have learned other places. And you can learn and grow and apply what you learn and apply that to other things in life. And I realize this is not for everyone listening in this call. They don't want to become full-time AMSL dealers. That's fine. If you do, there's plenty of opportunity out there. Our market share is small compared to the Mobils and the Pennzoils and the big names that are out there you see on the shelf at Walmart. The opportunity is alive, and it keeps getting better. I've heard this, Jack said that during the call, you know, the best time to plant a tree was 20 years ago. The second best time is now. The best time to start an AMSL business was 20 years ago. Oh, I wish I started when you started back in 2000. And I say that when I go to AMSL conventions and I talk to Ray Pesco and some of the, you know, they started in the 70s. I wish I started when you started. You know, no, I don't. I don't wish I would have started then. You know, I wish I would have started right when I started, because if I had to start the AMSL, and I thank the people that started AMSL for us. If you're a long-time listener, you're a long-time AMSL dealer, and you started the AMSL back when the only way to to sell the product was to buy a full case, and it only shipped from the Superior warehouse. And the only way to get the product was you had to get it and sell it. I appreciate those folks because I don't think I could have done it. I don't think I could have done it if I couldn't have placed an order for products and got it in a couple of days from when I first got started at the Dallas warehouse, or signed up preferred customers, or signed up retail on the shelf account. These things are all there, and they keep getting better. AMSL is continually working on making our business a better business for those that are getting started. So I hope tonight's call was good for everyone. Thanks for calling in tonight. It's my hope that you go out there and create the life that you desire. If it's with AMSL, that's great. I'm looking forward to working with you. If it's not, take the things you learn in your AMSL business and apply them where they make most sense for you. So go out there tonight and make some AMSL happen, as they say. I hope everybody has a great night. Thanks for calling in. Good night, everyone.
Thank you, Michael.
Good night, Michael.
Good night, everyone. Thanks.
Good night,
thanks for calling in.
Yeah, definitely.